Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Well, as we know, the National Cyber Security Centre is continuing its investigations this morning into the malicious ransomware attack on the HSE. In a moment, we'll be speaking to Oisin Smith, Minister of State for E-Government and Green Party TD for Dunleary. But first, I've been speaking to Tony O'Brien, the former Chief Executive of the HSE, and he gave me his assessment of how big the impact of this ransomware attack will be.
I think it's very clear that the impact is substantial. The HSE provides about 4,000 day case procedures a day, over 12,000 outpatient appointments a day. So any part or all of that that's disrupted for a number of days is going to have a significant knock-on effect. But it's also clear that this cyber attack is very intense, very deep, and that it's going to take some time for many of these systems, of which there are over 2,000, to be back up and running, and for the process of the system to begin operating normally to take. So I think that we're looking at a very substantial and severe impact over an extended period of time.
Okay, so you're looking at weeks, perhaps months?
In some instances. I mean, it's very clear that people in the HSE are working extremely hard to get as many workarounds as possible in place and to maintain as much service as possible. But I think the effects of this could go on for many, many weeks, yes.
Paul Reid was saying earlier on Morning Ireland that the hackers set out to access patient information. How concerned would you be that patient data could be published online now?
Well, I think we shouldn't run ahead of ourselves. While it's clear that that was the intention, HSE, as I understand it, hasn't yet been in a position to assess the extent to which that has occurred. So there are a few steps to go through before we should get particularly concerned about that, but clearly there is a risk of that, and anything that compromises patient data is clearly a very bad thing indeed.
How much of an ongoing concern is cybersecurity within the HSE? Looking back at your own time there, was there a dedicated team that would look at IT systems and how susceptible they are to attack?
Yes, there is a highly skilled and capable ICT team in the HSE, and they, of course, in my time had to deal with WannaCry, which was of a much lower order of threat and effect than this. But when we compare the HSE by size with other health systems in the developed world, its ICT team and its spend and so on is about a quarter of what you might expect in comparative health systems. But leaving that to one side, we're now dealing with a very changed environment when it comes to cybercrime. So not just for the HSE, but for probably the entire Irish public sector, there is going to be a need to change the approach to cybersecurity, to look at some of the old, might one say, slightly redundant systems, and look at how we keep pace in the same way as the commercial sector does with the ongoing investment in new ways of breaking into our systems. We need to be investing at the same rate in how to defend them.
Okay, and given all of that then, and if you look at the scale of the cleanup job that will need to be done here, all the devices, all the servers, restoring all of the information then. I mean, is it possible to estimate how long this might take and what the impact will be?
Well, I fear that we're talking, and I think Paul Reid has already said, we're talking tens of millions of euros in cost. We're also looking at, you know, possibly hundreds of hours of work to restore, for example, just one radiology system in one hospital, where they're literally having to rebuild because of the nature of the damage that's been done. So I think one of the important things is for the system to take a chance to see how it might build back some of that things better, whether the integrated patient management systems and so on should better be replaced on a cloud-based server system rather than the old way that these have been done. So there are opportunities, but we are nonetheless looking at very considerable expense and quite some time. WannaCry in the UK, which was much more badly affected than we were, is said to have cost the NHS over 100 million euros. So there's going to have to be a lot of money spent now, and the question is, how do we get the best effect from that in terms of long-term defence in this increasingly threatening cybersecurity world?
So that's the system side of it. And then on the delay side, when it comes to procedures, I mean, if procedures are postponed even on one particular day, it's difficult to get them back on track, isn't it?
Well, you never get the day back. And we know that even before COVID, the system was stretched in terms of waiting times and so on. COVID has not helped that. And it is literally the case that you don't get those days back. Now, I know many, many staff are working incredibly hard throughout the system to go around things, to get as many procedures done as possible, but there is going to be a loss of time. And unfortunately, that time is impossible to get back. So this does have a long-term impact, and these people have done things which damage our health infrastructure and will have a negative impact on some patients in this country, unfortunately.
Were the HSE systems good enough in the first place? There was criticism that the organisation was operating on an older Windows system. Do you think that there were failures to upgrade and that perhaps these might have made the situation or allowed the hackers to do far more damage than they might otherwise have done?
Well, as I said earlier, compared to other health systems in developed countries, the spend on ICT and the size of the team is about a quarter of what you might see in other health systems. So that leads to a vulnerability. So I wouldn't express this as a criticism of the people in the HSE, who I know are absolutely working themselves to the ground over the last few days to deal with this. But it does point to a need for more fundamental reform in the way we invest in our ICT systems. Given that there are tremendous benefits in healthcare and safety from greater e-health technologies, but that means that the need to protect them simply grows. And in the private sector and other health systems, we see much more willingness to invest in both the most up-to-date systems and a heightened security.
Okay, so
having been said, yeah, you can never completely eliminate this risk.
Of course, but what you're saying is that the government hasn't funded the IT systems in the HSE enough.
I think that while not wanting to get into what has or hasn't happened in the past, it's very clear that for the future, there needs to be a much greater emphasis on cybersecurity, and that the HSE needs to be supported to protect itself against these new emerging threats, which are getting more serious as time goes by. It needs to have a senior responsible officer for cybersecurity. It needs to be enabled and supported to move as many of its critical systems onto cloud-based solutions as possible. And obviously, where there are old legacy systems which have increased security risk, those need to be replaced.
Okay, and then in terms of this decision, and it seems to be a decision because it's been said by many people in government, including the Taoiseach, that the hackers will not be paid whatever ransom they're seeking. Is that the right decision? Because we know from experts in this field that companies and entities that are attacked often do have to pay.
I think it is the right decision. And the reason is I don't think you can do a deal with the devil that you can trust. If they succeed in extorting substantial sums of money from the Irish state in relation to this, I suspect they will just move on to other parts of the Irish public service and seek to do the same, perhaps attacking other critical systems around social welfare or whatever it might be. And you can't trust. Often when ransoms are paid, they then can come back for further figures in order to prevent them from doing whatever they might do with some of the data that they've obtained and so on. So I think, unfortunately, it's right to bite the bullet on this one, to work through the process of fixing the systems, but equally important, to take on cybercrime really seriously in terms of the protective measures that are put in place.
You mentioned the WannaCry cyber attack on the NHS eventually cost them £100 million. Could you put a figure on what this is likely to cost the HSE?
I think it's too early to do that, but I think we are definitely looking at tens of millions of euros. If you disrupt even one of the systems, and there are about 2,000 systems, and there are 2,700 locations, but if you think of a radiology system in a large acute hospital, if you have to rebuild that, you're looking at hundreds of hours of work to do that, and then you multiply that over time, you're definitely talking about tens of millions of euros of cost there, and then there's the cost to healthcare of all these lost appointments and lost procedures, which in many ways is incalculable. So the cost here is very substantial. And, I want to acknowledge the tremendous work that's been going on by all the teams in healthcare, both those delivering patient care and those dealing with this attack and trying to rebuild systems over the last few days, which, of course, comes on top of a really arduous 14, 15 months they've had trying to deal with COVID. And it's absolutely the last thing they need right now, all of them.
Tony O'Brien, thank you very much for your time today. That's the former chief executive of the HSE there speaking to us a little earlier. And as I said, the Minister of State for e-Government, Oisin Smith, is here. You're very welcome. You were listening to all of that. And one of the points raised by Tony O'Brien was this, as he saw it, well, he seems to suggest that there was a lack of investment by the department, by the government in the IT system, saying that it was about a quarter of what it should be. Did we leave ourselves open to this?
I don't think so, but I think that historically there has been an emphasis on the medical and clinical side within healthcare systems around the world. And in fact, people often say there's too much money is spent on administration and really we should get back to spending all the money on the clinical side of things. But this is a sort of a reminder of how important it is. And I think that last year...
It's more than a reminder, it's a body blow.
It is. And, you know, it's a disgusting act to attempt to hold up a hospital for money. You know, if somebody cut off the electricity supply or the oxygen supply to a hospital and threatened the patients, you know what the response would be. It's certainly, the response is not to give them money. But in the context of the 22 billion euros they were allocated last year, IT was very central to that and has been. You know, if you look at Sláinte Care, it's one of the pillars of Sláinte Care is improving e-health. And there were specific allocations for additional money for IT for this year. Okay. But there is a going back over time, there has not been an emphasis on IT. And if you look at what a medical record looks like in a typical hospital anywhere in the world, it is a cardboard box.
So you've been working intensively on this over the course of the last few days since it emerged. Do you think as you sit here now that our system was vulnerable?
Which system is vulnerable? Sorry.
The HSE IT system, that it was vulnerable, that it could have been better protected. Do you believe that now, knowing what you do and all of the work you've been doing over the weekend on this?
So there's nothing new to this. We have a National Cybersecurity Centre who report to me. They have a statutory role, which is to do risk assessments of the different critical infrastructure around the country. One of the most important is the HSE. They would have assessed their risk. They would have asked for professional third-party audits to be done. Recommendations would be given to the HSE and so on. So in detail, we know what the risks are. We know what the measures are to be taken. That work is carried out. It's then given to the security teams. Each of these critical infrastructure bodies has their own IT security team. They're given those measures to carry out. And if there is an incident after all of that, then National Cybersecurity Centre comes in for incident response. So we help at that point as well. But it's important to say that each critical infrastructure body is responsible for its own IT security. And I'm sure that the HSE will look in the light of this and review, you know, whether all their recommendations were, whether the recommendations that we gave them were carried out, whether what they need to change for the future. It's an ongoing thing. And just to remember that in the context of the amount of the number of attacks that are attempted, you know, we would easily have 50 significant attacks a week, which have to be reported and logged on. So with that, that's 2,500 attacks in the last year alone. And this is the one which is clearly beyond anything else that has ever come in. You know, it is an order of magnitude bigger than WannaCry. It's a completely different level of intrusion.
Okay, WannaCry was the one. Incident, this is the one that Tony O'Brien referred to, the attack on the NHS, which cost them £100 million.
And the thing about WannaCry was it was not a group of people purposefully targeting that. It was just the standard virus that spreads around through emails that automatically switches from one machine to another. Whereas this is a criminal gang, particularly targeting different elements of the health service, the Department of Health, which is separate from the HSE, going in and then spending time investigating and particularly just aiming for a body that they knew was under stress at the moment, that would be focusing on the pandemic, that might have resources allocated away from the kind of routine security, and this is a targeted criminal attack of the worst kind.
Can we talk about the data that may be published online? You're quoted in the Irish Times as saying you believe that there will be data published online. Is that the case, whether that ransom is paid or not?
I don't know, but I was trying to give a realistic and honest answer, which is that I expect that they do have data and I expect that eventually it will be published. They may not be the people to publish it. They may sell it to somebody else and then that person may eventually publish it. But we've seen a lot of, you know, if you look online and you look in the right place, you can find a lot of administrative data. So, for example, the recent Facebook hack resulted in a third of Irish Facebook users having their phone numbers and personal information online. And when I looked, I could see at least five different hacks where some of my administrative information was put online.
So do we know at this stage what they have?
We don't. I spoke to Paul Reid yesterday and they haven't gone through every system, so they wouldn't know the extent of what data may have been exfiltrated back to wherever they launched their attack from. And similarly, I would hope is that all of the data is going to be restored. So, you know, one of the things that happens at these machines is that you back them up. The backup goes to a tape. There's a robot that puts a tape in a safe and so on, so that the, you know, you're going to restore from that to the service.
So we have the backups. The records are backed up.
As far as I understand, we're not aware of any server where we've actually lost data. So there's two risks, I suppose, involved. There's the loss of data where it's encrypted and you can't get it back, and then there's the publication of data. So they're the two things you're facing.
Do we know at this stage whether the malware can attack the backup?
So that's one of the first things they would do when they get in, is to attempt to delete the backups before they lock up the data, before they encrypt it. And our understanding is that we have our backups, and that our backups are not gone. So far, we're not aware of any data loss.
If they do publish personal information, is there a way of cleaning that up, of retrieving it, of getting it off the dark web if that happens? Do we know?
No, I mean, sorry. Once data is published, it's published. So once data is out there, it's out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be extremely distressing for people to hear that their personal medical records may be online at any given moment.
Absolutely, it is. It is distressing, and I mean, one thing I'd say is that most of the HSE's data is administrative rather than clinical, and that, you know, you look at a lot of the major hospitals, the Mater, Vincent's, James and so on. A lot of these are voluntary hospitals that contain their own systems that are separate from the HSE. And as far as I'm aware, most of those hospitals, their services have continued to run and are not affected. So I think that in most cases, clinical data was not breached.
Can you explain to us, you've mentioned this, you've touched on it earlier, but I'd like to go into some more detail about what the National Cybersecurity Centre is doing right now. What process are they engaged in?
Yeah, so... I think there was some commentary about the National Cybersecurity Centre and what they do, and, you know, what's the boundary of what they do. They're not the only people who protect our critical infrastructure, but they do have a legal role, and it's under a European directive. Every country in Europe has to have a National Cybersecurity Centre, and that National Cybersecurity Centre identifies what are the organisations that are critical to the running of the country. Some of them could be private, they could be airports or airlines, but also you've got the water system, you have our energy, you have the grid and so on. And they go out and they work with those organisations and find what are the risks, what are the things that could go wrong. They have great experts in cybersecurity who look for vulnerabilities. They check and say, well, what are the ways you could break in here? They issue their recommendations, and they annually they report on these, and they work closely with them. But each of those organisations has their own cybersecurity team. And there is a very large cybercrime unit in the Gardaí, which has doubled in recent years. I think there's 140 of them. And they're very expert as well. And they will be leading this investigation. So I guess that's there's military intelligence, of course. Mm-hmm. So the defense forces have their own military intelligence branch who are being reviewed at the moment as part of the review of the defense forces that's going on.
So what is happening right now? What are they doing right now and how they're addressing this problem?
They're responsible for helping out when an incident happens. So that's incident response. There's an incident response team, and that means that the National Cybersecurity Centre goes out to any critical infrastructure that's been attacked, and they bring out their experts. They also bring in international experts, people who are experts on locking down systems and restoring them, and they also work with the.
But are they restoring them now, or are they eradicating the infra? Like, what are they doing today?
Sorry, their work is all about security. So it's all about advising about how to deal with cybercrime intrusion. The job of restoring the systems and rebuilding them is the HSE's own IT team.
Working on that.
So they're the people who are working on that. And we've had a lot of offers of support, and we're at the point where we've had so many offers, we have as many people as we can have on site at any one time.
Do you know how long these people, whoever these actors are, how long they were in the system before it was discovered late last week?
No, but we expect that they would have been in for some time. So the first thing they do when they get in is they start to they start to look around the system and find what are the staff accounts, the login accounts from the HSE staff, who has the most privilege, can they compromise their passwords, how many different systems can they get onto. So they'll do that quietly for a while before they move to the next step, which is trying to move data off the server, then try and attack the backups, then try and encrypt the server.
They may have been doing that for a couple of weeks. Do you know?
It's possible. And the investigation you know, the analysis of when they got in first and so on, that will all come after that the systems have been restored. So the focus at the moment is on restoration of systems and rebuilding. So
do you have an estimate as to how long this is going to take?
Oh, how long it will take the HSE to rebuild their systems? Mm. I don't know, but I'm impressed that they've come back so quickly on so many systems. So, you know, the major three systems for the pandemic, the testing and tracing, the vaccination systems are all back online with very short interruptions. You know, you couldn't register for a few hours. There was one day when the testing data didn't come out and so on. So, and I'm seeing, you know, and as I said, I spoke to Vincent's Hospital and all their systems were online without interruption. So I think that as your last Tony O'Brien was saying, there are 2,000 systems in there, and there are probably some of them that they're going to have difficulty pulling back together, and I don't know what they're going to be.
Because he said this could take a very long time to sort out, and it could cost tens of millions of euro.
So even if you lose a server completely, which has, as I've seen happen, where it's flooded or it goes on fire or it's stolen, you should still be able to rebuild your machines from your tapes, from your backups. So, you know, that's a routine thing that takes a number of hours. So I would expect that the HSE will be capable of rebuilding, so long as they have their data, that they will be capable of reconstructing their services and getting their services online. And remember that we're in the context of a lot of interruption to service with the pandemic over the last month. So they are used to that. They're also used to the idea that when their systems crash, that they can operate with paper alternatives or with manual alternatives. So they do have a lot of experience with this.
But this will cost tens of millions of euro and take a long time to sort out.
It will cost millions, I'm sure. And there will be, like, there was 50 million extra was put into IT this year. The budget is colossal. 22 mm-hmm. billion for this service. It is an enormous operation. I'm sure it will cost millions, but none of that money will be spent on paying criminals.
Have you had any conversations about the legal implications for the HSE or indeed for the government about personal data being lost and potentially published online?
No, but it is, you know, it is a GDPR incident, of course. So it has to be reported in that way. And I'm sure that is, I'm sure that the HSE will as they're legally required to, will liaise with their patients and will tell them if they believe that any of their data has been compromised.
Okay. Oisin Smith, Minister of State, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.